Anyway, these 2.5 days at Harvey Cedars, we are on the calling of Moses.
Amen.
Let's say that together. The calling of Moses. Tonight, we have a message that is a little bit of the background of the calling of Moses. And when I first looked at this, I thought, maybe this is not as important as the other messages. But the more I get into it, the more I realized we must touch this first chapter of Exodus first, before we get into the calling of Moses. The reason is, at least a few things. One is, we don't realize how important the calling of Moses is if we don't see the condition of the children of Israel in the first chapter of Exodus. And the second thing is, the children of Israel, their condition in the first chapter of Exodus, depicts to us a type and a picture of our situation as Christians today, who are living in the world but should not be of the world. But the world affects us. And we hope that the Lord could speak to us tonight to realize actually how dangerous the world really is. I don't think I realize it. I'm not sure you realize it. But I hope the Lord could speak to us tonight to realize the world is Satan's scheme. It is his plot. It is one of his devices to frustrate God's people from accomplishing God's purpose. Maybe we should write that down. The world is designed by Satan to frustrate God's people. That's us. To frustrate God's people. To usurp them, to occupy them, to distract them, to enslave them, so that we are not able to fulfill the purpose of God for which we were created. We were created in the image of God to express Him. And we were given dominion, the authority of God to represent Him. That is the highest calling in the universe. But Satan has designed, he has a plot, he has a scheme, a purpose, an intention to frustrate us, frustrate all of God's children, all of his people, from fulfilling God's purpose. And one big way that he does that is through the world. So tonight we're going to talk about the world. And there are several points about the world that we're going to get into, but I just want to mention that in the beginning. So that's why I wanted us to read 2 Corinthians 2:11, because we do not want to be ignorant of his schemes. I hope no one tonight leaves this room ignorant. We want you all to see it, to understand it, to be aware of it, what this world is like. Why Satan designed the world that way. Why there's something in the world for you that won't frustrate me. Why there's something in this world for me that won't usurp you. There are so many items and so many aspects of the world, and some are designed specifically for you. I don't know what that is. I don't know which part that is. But there is part of the world that is just geared. It is just figured. It is invented by the enemy just to get you and to usurp you. I'm not sure we all understand what this word usurp means. Usurp. And occupy. Two P's or one?
One. That's right.
Yeah. And enslave. Or capture. First of all, usurp. I have an understanding, but I think you should probably... The dictionary definition is probably going to be better than mine. Usurp. To take and keep something in a forceful or violent way, and especially without the right to do so. Satan has no right to take and keep you forcibly. He has no right to do that, but in this forceful and violent way. Now, of course, in warfare, forceful and violent means one thing. And we are in a warfare. But related to the world, this warfare is not just guns and knives and, you know, rockets and bombs. This warfare is something very subtle. And oftentimes, very attractive. And it doesn't feel bad to get into it. It actually feels good to be in there and to be a part of that and to enjoy those things. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Nevertheless, listen, Satan uses those things to forcefully keep you, to take you and occupy you, especially without the right to do so. He has no right. He wants to occupy you with the world. Another definition, to seize and hold in possession by force without right. Without right. He's like a roaring lion, you know, seeking someone to devour. He wants to grab us in all kinds of ways. So we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. And this word schemes, ignorant of his schemes, if you look at the footnote, it has this, all these further definitions that I mentioned. Plans, plots, designs, wiles, intentions, and purposes. That we would not be taken advantage of by Satan. Now, the background of this, if you open your, to outline number one, to message number one, let's read the title together. Message one, you got it? Let's read it. Israel under slavery in the world. Sisters. Brothers.
Israel under slavery in the world.
Okay, let's all read Romans 1 together. Exodus begins with a poor situation, giving us a detailed record of the activities of God's people in their situation of slavery and death in Egypt under Pharaoh's usurpation. People are firstly enslaved by the world, and then they are deadened, killed by it. So here, we want to see 2 points tonight, mainly. Number one, how we are usurped and enslaved by the world. And we hope to apply that to us as teenagers and as serving ones, as God's people, as the brothers and sisters in the church. How does that and what does that mean to me? To how am I affected? And the second thing is that Satan not only wants to occupy you from accomplishing God's purpose, he actually wants to kill you. He would like to kill you physically if he could. But definitely he wants to kill you spiritually. And kill the life that is in you, which is for God's purpose. That's the second part of this message. So both of these points are very important. So firstly, we want to spend some time on this matter of Israel's poor condition. Now, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes just to tell you a little bit of the story. How many of you have read Exodus chapters 1 through 3 before you came this weekend? How many of the young people read it? Good. I hope the rest of you could read it some tonight. Read chapters 1 and 2 tonight. Maybe tomorrow morning, read chapter 3. We should be able to get through the first few chapters of Exodus, and that will help you to understand this, the burden and the release of the word in this conference. You know, God called the children of Israel, he called them out by calling one man, Abraham, out of Chaldea. And his purpose was, and he promised him, he would bring him into the good land and make him a great nation. And eventually, after they got into the good land, Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And one of them was Joseph. And I think many of you know the story. Joseph was one of the younger brothers, and he went to check on his brothers, and they despised him because he had these dreams, and so they sold him into slavery. Put him in a pit and sold him into slavery and lied to their father that he had This was his coat, and it was full of blood, that he had died. He had been eaten by a beast or something. Anyway, Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, and he was a servant in Potiphar's house. He was maligned there. Potiphar's wife did some terrible things to him, and he was put in prison for a number of years. And eventually, because he still had this vision, this dream, that one day he would be ruling over his brothers and sisters and ruling over the people on the earth, he had this vision from the Lord, and he stayed faithful to that vision. And one day the Lord brought him out of that prison, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream at that time. Pharaoh had a dream about 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows and 7 ears of corn and then 7 wheat, all withered corn. And Joseph interpreted that dream and told him, Egypt is going to have 7 years of plenty. Crops are going to be great. Everything is going to be wonderful. Then there will be 7 years of famine. And everything will be wiped out and the people will starve. And so Pharaoh said, oh, you know, he realized that Joseph, this was from the Lord, from God. And so he appointed Joseph second in command to take care of the situation in Egypt. So for those first 7 years, Joseph reaped in all the harvest. And then he had all the food in the whole world at that time, the known world. He had all the food. And he was ruling in Egypt. And eventually, his family, when the famine came, they needed food. So the remaining children of Israel, all the other 11 tribes and their families, they had to go to Egypt to eat, to survive. They had to go to Egypt for their livelihood. I want you to write that down. The children of Israel, they went from the land of Canaan, where God wanted them to be. They had to leave there because of the famine. And to survive, to have a normal life, to be able to eat and to take care of their families, they were forced to go to Egypt. And there, you know, of course, they met Joseph. They didn't know who he was in the beginning, but eventually they realized this is Joseph. And his brothers repented, and they had a wonderful reunion, and he took care of them. And his vision of feeding the world, taking care of his brothers and the children of Israel, was fulfilled by God. And Joseph was ruling in Egypt, and the Pharaoh really appreciated him. And he gave the children of Israel the best part of the land. And they multiplied, and their herds multiplied. And they were very well-to-do there. They had a wonderful place to live. But when we get to the beginning of Exodus, okay? Anyway, let me before I get there. Okay, so then at the end of Genesis, the Bible tells us that Joseph was dead in a coffin in Egypt. Not a very positive verse. After that high thing, he was there. And then Exodus starts, and all the children of Israel were enslaved by Pharaoh. What happened was, after Joseph died, another Pharaoh came up. He didn't know anything about Joseph. He didn't remember Joseph. He didn't remember how much Joseph saved Egypt even and made it a great nation. All he could see was that the children of Israel had multiplied exceedingly, and there were more of them than he could count, and he didn't know what to do with them. So what? He put them into bondage. He put them into slavery to build his treasure cities. And they were there, no longer free men. They were totally usurped by Pharaoh. And they were occupied by Pharaoh. They were enslaved by Pharaoh to do his work, to build these treasure cities, Ramses, Python. It's not Python. What is it? To build the treasure cities. Anyway, they were enslaved there. They were in a very, very poor condition. They were in this terrible slavery. Okay, now, let's read, sisters, read A for us. I would underline this last phrase. People become enslaved primarily out of the need to maintain their livelihood. The need to make a living. This is something we need to underline and try to consider a little bit tonight. Now, according to the Bible, there are three places that represent the world in picture or in type. Okay? Who among the young people know what these three places are? Or if you know one of them. Yeah?
Sodom.
Sodom is one. Another one. Yes.
Egypt
is another. And?
On your right.
Yes.
Babel?
Babel or Chaldea? Yes, Babylon. I think I'm going to put Chaldea. Okay. Now, each of these cities or areas, Chaldea is a region. Chaldea. Okay. I mean, if I put Babylon, it's a city, obviously, but it's in this region of Chaldea. Abraham was called out by God of Chaldea. Now, each of these cities or areas, they represent a different aspect of the world. Do you know what that is? Sodom represents one aspect of the world. Sinfulness, right. The aspect of sin, right? Because sodomy is a terrible sin. Yes.
Rebellion
and idolatry is Chaldea. Chaldea was full of idols. The Tower of Babel had idols on every brick. And Abraham grew up in that land full of idolatry. But God called him out of that land, out of idolatry, to worship Jehovah, the one and only and true God. So there's an aspect of the world that wants to usurp us by worshiping idols. Now, you may say, oh, we're in America, we don't worship idols. Well, Watchman Nee says, he uses this verse, right? You cannot serve God and mammon. In his thought and in his understanding of the scripture, no one is an atheist. Either you serve God or you serve idols. And idols are, a big part of idols are mammon. And today in this country, you know, a lot of people are serving money. They live for money. Everything is about money. So this aspect of money in the world is a big part of the world. We live in New York City, the financial capital of the world. People study for 8 years, 10 years, 12 years to get big degrees to come here and work in finance and make a lot of what?
Money.
They serve money. They love money. They give their lives for money. What is that? That is really idolatry. Of course, New York City is also a big city of sin. People come here to a lot of sin. So there's an aspect of the world that's related to sin. But Egypt is not related to sin, nor related to idols. So what is the aspect of Egypt, the aspect of the world? Yes. Enjoyment. Enjoyment. And that sounds really funny to me, you know? Enjoyment is the world. Enjoyment, pleasure. And this is the aspect of the world we want to concentrate on tonight. There is a part of the world that is very enjoyable and full of pleasure. And it is aimed at, and it is designed for you to want to do those things and enjoy those things and have a good time in that area and those things. It is meant to draw your heart to those things so that you would be what? Usurped. And eventually you would be enslaved. Usurped, occupied, and enslaved. The children of Israel, they went to Egypt for a very good cause. They were in a famine, and their country, there was no food. They had to go there to have normal life, to have the pleasure of eating a meal, to have the enjoyment of feeding their family and eating together and having a job, having a place to live. It was for their living. What did we read? To maintain their livelihood, a need to make a living. They went there for that purpose. But eventually, those things and usurped them and occupied them, and eventually they became enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, we live in a free country. We're not physically enslaved. We're not in chains. But listen, when you think about the children of Israel, they were enslaved there. They had to make that measure of bricks every day. And eventually, one time, Pharaoh got mad at them and said, okay, no straw. You got to make the same number of bricks, but there's no straw. So now they've got to get up how many hours earlier in the morning to go out to the fields and try to find some straw and bring it back to the clay pots to where the bricks are made and make the bricks out of that. They still had to do the same thing, or they were punished. Or maybe they were in prison. I don't know how they were punished. They still had to do it. They were working in hardship and in harshness, enslaved by Pharaoh. And we don't think that way so much in the beginning, when we just go and have some enjoyment in the world. There's some pleasure here. We like to do this. We like to do that. It doesn't seem like, you know, it's so terrible. It's not sinful. It doesn't seem like it's, and we're not worshiping anything. We're just, you know, having a good time with our friends and so forth. But eventually, little by little, we get occupied with it. And we get usurped by it. And eventually it becomes something we cannot do without. And what is that? That is slavery. That is bondage. We're in bondage to that thing. We're in bondage to that thing. Let's read B. Brothers, read B.
According to the Bible, the world has at least three aspects. The aspect of rebellion and idolatry, signified by Babylon, the aspect of sinfulness, signified by Sodom, and the aspect of enjoyment and pleasure, signified by Egypt.
Sisters, one. Brothers, too.
In Egypt they made a good living, and they enjoyed the riches of the world. But Egypt kept them from fulfilling the purpose of which God had originally called them.
Sisters, too, read this. Underline this. Egypt kept them from fulfilling the purpose for which God had originally called them. They went to Egypt to be preserved. God raised up Joseph to preserve their life during that famine. But the goal was for them to go back to Canaan and to build the temple, to build the tabernacle, build the temple, to worship God, chase out all the enemies there. That was the purpose. But they got caught. They got usurped. They were enslaved there and trapped there. Why? Because they made a good living there. And they enjoyed the riches of the world there. They came from a place of famine. But if you look at Numbers 11, 4 and 5, from number 1 there, those numbers, there they had fish and cucumbers and leeks and onions and garlic. And you may think, so what? Fish and onions, and it's not a big deal. A little onions and garlic. How many of you like Chinese food? Let me tell you something. I'm not a chef, and I'm not a great Chinese cook, but I think I know enough to say, without garlic, there ain't no Chinese food. And they use leeks a lot, too. All these things are very flavorful. They're very good foods. And it takes a kind of an environment. The Nile River was extremely rich, and the fertile valley around the Nile afforded them an opportunity to have the greatest produce growing along the Nile River. It was Without water, you're not going to make good vegetables. You're not going to have good food. You won't have good fish without the Nile. But there they had fish and onions and garlics. And some of you know the story. When they were, eventually, Moses did. He was called by God. We're going to see that. And eventually he got them out of Egypt. And they crossed the Red Sea and went into the good land. And then God fed them every day, miraculously, with manna. Every day. They didn't have to do anything. He gave them food every day. And you know what they did? They complained about it. What's this manna? Everyday manna. Where's my leeks and my garlic and my fish? They longed after the things of Egypt. And we're not much different. There are some things in the world we really like to do. We love to do them. And even though we're saved and we've been baptized and the world is crucified to us, positionally, we still like those things. And there's still a real possibility. The enemy will draw you into those things. And what? Usurp you, occupy you, and eventually entrap and enslave you in the love for those things. This was their case. God had to change their diet, but we won't get into that in these 2.5 days. Did we read 3? Let's read 3. Because of their need to maintain their living, this is when... Oh yeah, it says they built the story series Pithom and Ramses. Pithom and Ramses. Okay, let's read 2. The children of Israel were under the enslavement of Pharaoh, who typifies Satan, the ruler of this world. Brothers A.
Pharaoh forced God's people to work for him.
B. Sisters. Here are those words. You can underline them. Usurp them. To occupy them. And to enslave them. Let's all read C together. The Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with harshness. This word indicates children of Israel had no liberty, no rights, and no rest. They had to serve with harshness. O Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now, this shows you the picture in Exodus chapter 1. But what about us? And how are we? How does this relate to us? What is the world to us? So I want you to just think about this. What things in the world do you have? Do they attract you for your enjoyment and for your pleasure? And there are many things. And depending on your age and where you are and your situation in your human life right now, whether you're a teenager or a young working one or a parent, there is something in this world that is designed just for our pleasure, just for our enjoyment, just for us to rest a little, have a good time a little bit. And I don't know what it is for you. But I think one big area that we could consider, and I want you to consider, is related to the internet. How much does the internet interest you and attract you? And are there things there that are enjoyable to do? And are there things there that give you pleasure to do? And there are so many items and so many aspects. Right? You know, my children are a little bit older, but when they were your age, the video games were a big attraction to some of my kids of a certain gender. They liked the video games. My other children of another kind of gender, they liked different things, still somewhat related to the internet. You know, now we have so many things that can occupy our time. How much time do you spend on Instagram? How much time do you spend on Pinterest? What's Pinterest? I caught some of the older ones, right? Do you younger ones use Pinterest much?
What is it?
It's another social media tool too. You can pin things onto Pinterest, right? Huh? Oh, it's still your age, okay. Too old for them. You know, there are all kinds of things. All kinds of things to occupy you, to attract you. And it's pleasurable, it's enjoyable. But eventually, think about it. Do you get usurped by it? Especially, does it entrap you or enslave you? Meaning what? Can you live without it today? Or do you have to check it today? Do you have to go on Facebook how often? Do you have to check Instagram how many times? You know, some of these things. Or are video games your pleasure? These are just some things of the world that can attract us and can occupy us and spend time. I see a lot of young people spending time on their phone. And I don't think they're studying on their phone. Should you be studying more? Why don't we study more? Because Satan, as a roaring lion, is seeking to devour you. But he just doesn't come, you know, jumping out of the woods, you know, with claws and teeth to devour you. He comes out of your cell phone. And he uses the cell phone to draw you away from what you should be doing. And I don't mean reading the Bible all day long. I mean you have normal things that you need to be doing. You need to be studying. I hope that you would be helping your parents, have chores around the house. You should have a normal human life. But these things, some of these things, will just attract you and distract you. There are other aspects of the world, of course. It can also attract you. Your friends, enemies trying to tempt you to sin, trying to do all kinds of things. But there is the aspect of the world that is just geared for you. I don't know how many of you pay attention to all the new movies that come out. How often does a new movie come out? Very often, right? Weekly? The big blockbusters may not be weekly. They may be monthly. But they're coming out. They keep coming and they keep coming, you know? And I don't know which ones you're interested in, you know, but, you know, my children were telling me there was a new, they were watching something, and I said, what is that? And there's a new Fast and Furious that's coming out, right? Right? How many is it? Number 7? Number 7. He knows. Number 7. Fast and Furious. Yeah, without him. What, because he died? Died in a car crash, huh? Who'd have thunk it? Fast and Furious. How many do not know what Fast and Furious is? Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay. Okay. Fast and Furious is a series of movies now, 7 of them, right? About men and women who love fast cars. And they love to wreck them, crash them, and drive them over bridges, and fly them through the air, and, you know, and shoot people and all kinds of things. Action movies. And my understanding, I'm not an expert on Fast and Furious, sorry to say, but anyway, my understanding was they were sort of made in the beginning as a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, like, right? It wasn't really that serious about what they were doing. Is that true or not? But now they're very serious about what they're doing. This is a multi-million, maybe billion-dollar, you know, what do you call it?
Franchise.
They're making tons of money on these things. And if you get into them, and the new one comes out, what are you doing? When am I going to see it? When am I going to go see it? This is just a little part of the world, the movie industry. multi-billion dollar part. But the music industry is another billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar part. And those artists that, you know, when those of us who are over the age of 25, those artists that we liked when they were when we were younger, they're all old men by now, old women. And they keep bringing up new ones, and there are new ones every, and, you know, and then there's a whole television industry about finding the next one, American Idol and The Voice, and you know, you've got to, all of these things are just a little part of the world to get you, what? Usurped, occupied, and eventually enslaved, that you've got to watch it. You've got to see the next one. And when I was young, if your favorite show was on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, and on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock you were still in the prayer meeting, you missed your favorite show, and you couldn't see it. But not now. You can see them all. You can watch them all, one right after another, all night long, and then into the next day. Right? You can buy the whole series. What is that for? It's to occupy you, to usurp you, and eventually to entrap you. To be, to really, it's really stealing you from God's purpose. By what? Stealing your time. Write this down. How is he taking you away from God's purpose? By stealing your time. Now, just take notes for a few minutes. I'm not on the outline. I just want to talk about this. You were saved. First of all, you were created in God's image to express Him. And He's given you dominion to have authority over the evil one, to crush the devil's head. But to do that, you need to get saved first and get God to live in you. Ask Christ to come and dwell in you and to live inside of your human spirit. But to fully express Him, you can't just keep Him in your spirit. You've got to let Him grow. Write that down. He needs to grow. How many of you are 5 feet tall? Stand up. 5 feet tall. Just 5 feet. 5 feet. Around. 61 inches is okay. 5 feet tall. Okay. How many years did it take you to get here? How old? You're 27? How old are you? 13 years to get this. How many years?
29.
Very good. Thank you. It takes time to grow. You're not going to get transformed in 5 years. It takes time for Christ in your spirit to spread into your heart, to spread into your mind, to renew your mind. So that, you know, the Lord wants to renew your mind so that that TV series or that movie series or that aspect of the internet, those video games, those social media things, so that they don't occupy your heart anymore. It takes time. The Lord has to grow. And then you would rather spend time with the Lord than to spend time in front of a silly box and watch moving pictures go by. It's something that you would choose rather to go to the meeting on Saturday night rather than to go out with your friends on Saturday night to whatever is the best Thai fuba pofu restaurant that you can imagine. Something. The restaurants are changing all the time, right? Best Korean, Malaysian, whatever thing there is. Do you get my point?
Yeah.
What are you doing on Friday night? There's a church meeting on Friday night. Where are we? I'm not saying, good, we should be in a meeting. I'm not saying and expecting all of you to be at all of the meetings. What I'm saying is, God, the Lord wants to grow in you so that you would prefer to be with the saints rather than to be with the worldly friends. You would prefer to be in the meeting rather than to be in the movie theater. That takes Christ growing in you. This doesn't happen by me giving you a lecture about how movie theater is evil and the meeting is wonderful. That won't work. The only thing that works is that you enjoy Jesus more. And you want to be with the brothers more. So what? Satan is trying to steal your time. Because it takes time to grow. It takes time for the Lord to spread. And he wants to steal that time away. So you have no time to get into the things of the Lord and to enjoy the things of the Lord. He wants to occupy you. Okay. Now, C1 talks about making bricks. Let's read 1a. According to the revelation of the Bible, God's building is never made of bricks. God's building is always made of stones. You know the difference, right? Stones are something created by God. Jasper stone, onyx stone, something created by God for his building. Bricks are man-made. You take the clay and you put it in a certain mold. You put it in an oven and it goes through and you burn out. You kill every aspect of life out of that piece of earth and it becomes a hard brick. And Pharaoh's cities were built of bricks, not of stone. God's building is built with stone. B says, God created the earth for growing and producing life. Making bricks means to kill, to burn every bit of the element of the earth that grows life. Satan wants to occupy us to build his treasure cities. Of course, we know this is not a physical city for us, but he's trying to build something that is void of life, burns out all the life. And that's what happens when I spend 5 hours watching Friends episodes 1 through 79, you know, or whatever. When I spend all that kind of time in front of the boob tube, it's crazy, right? What's happening? All the life is being burned out. Okay, I want to get to this last point. 2, just really quickly, the names of these cities mean mouth of integrity, thunder of the standard, indicating that Pharaoh's story cities were built for pride and boastful supply. Under Pharaoh, the Egyptians had these storage cities built in order to boast of their integrity, honesty, and goodness to propagate their cultural standard. This is verses Matthew 12:19, which the Lord Jesus would not cry out. He would not shout out. But this city is boastful and prideful supply. And I want to refer you to 1 Peter 5:8, which we read earlier, about be sober and watch because your adversary, the devil, is seeking, right, someone to devour. And the note 7 there on seeking, I have to read this to you. It's really good. 1 Peter 5:8, if you want to turn to it with me. It talks about pride. Okay, this footnote, 8:7, which is on the word seeking someone to devour. Peter here warned the believers who were suffering in persecution, if they would not be humbled under God's mighty hand and cast their anxiety upon God, this is verses 6 and 7, they would be devoured by the roaring lion, the devil, their adversary. This teaches us, now I want you to write this down, pride and anxiety make us delicious prey to satisfy the hunger of the roaring lion. In this matter, Peter no doubt could not forget the Lord's warning to him regarding the devil's desire. The Lord told him, Satan is seeking you to devour you, but I've prayed for you, and when you are restored, strengthen your brothers. The Lord prayed for Peter that the enemy wouldn't devour him because of any pride or anxiety. And that is a big part of the world trying to build up your pride. You know, we're so proud that we know so much about so many movies or so many, you know, so much that's going on the internet. But that can make us pray for the roaring lion. Okay, let's come to Romans 3. This is the last point. Let's read 3 together. Pharaoh not only enslaved the children of Israel, but also sought to kill all the sons born to Hebrew women. But the daughters were to be kept alive. Sisters, A. Underline that. The male life represents the life that is for God's purpose. Keep going. Underline that. Especially among the fallen people, the female life represents the life that is for man's pleasure. These are principles we're going to talk about in a second. Finish that. Satan told the midwives, when the Hebrew women are bearing children, when they're ready to give birth, if it's a male, kill it. If it's a female, let it live. What would happen? Pharaoh was worried that the children of Israel were too numerous. And if they got into a war, the children of Israel, because they were slaves, might side with the enemy of Egypt and defeat them and throw Pharaoh out of power. So how does he stop that? Kill the men. If you kill the boys, when these girls grow up, who are they going to marry? No, they won't marry no one. Who will they marry? If they marry Egyptians, they're no longer Hebrews. They're no longer the children of Israel. Now it's a mixed situation. It's a mixed marriage. And Pharaoh knows that. Satan knows that. If he can kill the life that is for God's purpose, the principle is here. If he can kill the life that's for God's purpose and preserve the life that's for man's pleasure, then eventually God's purpose can't be fulfilled. If he can kill the males using the Old Testament type, then God's people are going to be wiped out. So praise the Lord for the two midwives who didn't obey Pharaoh. And they didn't kill those boys, and they let them live. And when Pharaoh asked them, they said, they were very wise in their answer. Oh, the women of the Hebrew women, they're so strong. Before we even get there, they already had their babies and they're gone. I mean, you know, we can't stop it. So Pharaoh went, oh well. And then he said, okay, well, just throw them in the river. When the boys get born, just throw them in the river. That preserved, you know, Moses. That preserved Moses. So here's the principle. The female life, which is for God's pleasure, in times of low condition, bad situation, Satan comes to the females. In times of a high situation, like in the Garden of Eden, when everything was wonderful, Satan came to Eve to attack and to damage the situation. But in time of low situation, the children of Israel are enslaved here. God comes to the females to preserve life and bring in the Savior. Here, to bring in Moses. And in the beginning of the New Testament, he went to Mary to bring in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a principle I'm going to talk about, but I do want to say something to the sisters. When the situation in the church is low, sisters, the Lord needs you to rise up and to function and to pray for the brothers, to strengthen them, that the Lord could have His way. But sisters, on the flip side, when the church is in a good situation and there's a revival and everything is wonderful, be careful. Then the enemy wants to come in and damage things through you. Pharaoh sought to utilize the midwives to kill the male life, but God used them to keep alive the life that is for God and for His purpose. Now I want to end with just reading a little bit from this life study about this principle. It's very good. This is under the heading of Pharaoh killing the life of the children of Israel, killing the males and keeping the females. I'm reading a little bit from the middle of this first paragraph. As believers in Christ, you can take notes if you want, even we ourselves may be used by Satan to kill the male life, the life for God's purpose. This is from message 2 of the Exodus Life Study, page 19. Even as believers, Satan can use us to kill the male life. Every believer has both kinds of lives. Now we're talking about the principle here. Every one of us has a life that's for God's purpose and a life that's for man's pleasure. We have a male life and a female life, okay? If we do not have the Lord's grace daily, we shall be, listen to this, we shall be a Pharaoh killing the life for God's purpose and keeping the life for man's pleasure. Do you understand this? If we're not careful, and if we don't have the Lord's grace, we may be the Pharaoh killing the life for God's purpose. For example, and this is the example I want to leave with you, one of the examples here. On the Lord's Day, many Christians have no heart to attend Christian meetings. Instead, they spend the day enjoying sports, entertainments, and amusements. However, on the Lord's Day, the believers should come together to worship the Lord, to listen to His Word, and to serve Him. Write that down. On the Lord's Day, all of us should come to the meetings to worship the Lord, listen to His Word, and to serve Him. Yet on the Lord's Day, many believers slaughter the male life, but keep the female life. In regard to worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day, they are deadened. But in regard to partaking of various worldly amusements and entertainments, they are active and very much alive. Is this our case? Is this your case? You may say, "No, Brother Dennis, I go to the Lord's Day meeting every Lord's Day." But are you really in the Lord's Day meeting on the Lord's Day? Are you really there worshiping the Lord? Are you really open, listening to all the prophesying, listening to the message, listening to the Lord's Word? Are you really there serving the Lord in the meeting? Or are you there just because you have to be there and you just can't wait to be out of there so that you can get back to your amusement and your entertainment, and whether it's sports or whatever? I hope you would consider this. Satan is always looking for opportunities to kill the life that is for God's purpose and to preserve the life that is for man's pleasure. Have you ever considered why it is so much easier to gossip than to pray? Is it true? Is it easier to gossip than to pray?
Yeah.
To pray is to exercise the male life. But to gossip is to exercise the female life. Perhaps even today, you have been one with Satan in killing the life in you that is for God's purpose. When the Lord stirs us to pray, but we indulge in gossiping instead, we are being utilized by Satan to kill the male life and preserve the female life. This indicates, listen to this, that we are doing the same thing today that Pharaoh did in chapter 1 of Exodus. Do you live by the life that is for God's purpose or by the life that is for man's pleasure? Perhaps part of the time you are a Pharaoh enthroning the self and killing the life that is for God's purpose, but preserving the life that is for your pleasure. I hope you would consider this tonight. Go to the Lord. Bring this to the Lord. Lord, I want to be one who is for the life that builds you, church, that is for your purpose. I don't want to be usurped by the enemy to kill that life and to uplift the life that is for man's pleasure. These are very precious principles. And I hope that the Lord could speak to us from this portion of the life study. Amen? How about we pray with our neighbor and then we may have some time to overflow for a minute. Amen. Amen.